Today we're going to learn Bechorot Daf Chet. Since the next 2 days are Chag and Shabbat, we're going to pick up on Sunday with Daf Yud Aleph. Okay, so Tet and Yud, everyone's on their own for. Okay, very interesting Daf today. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We're starting at the very bottom of Chet Amubet, Zion Amubet. Dag Tamei Mashritz, Dag Tahor Mitil Beitzim. We saw this yesterday. It was mentioned before. Now they're bringing a brayta that says this, which is a non-kosher fish spawns its offspring, and a kosher fish lays eggs. Again, the difference was if it lays eggs, then the eggs come out of the body, and from there it hatches. Whereas the mashritz, the non-kosher fish, the fish come out already alive, kind of like a baby comes out. Kol hamolid meinik. The kolamatil beitzim milaket. Okay, now there's a different way. If you're molid, if you're an animal or a fish or whatever it might be, that is molid, like humans, then they nurse their young. And if it's metil beitzim, then they're milaket. They gather food for their young. Chutz me'atalef, sha'af alpisha metil beitzim menik. Okay, there's one exception, the bat, where it lays eggs and it also nurses its young. Hadolfinim, parim beravin kivne adam. Okay, some people say this is a dolphin. Other people say that this is, if you look in Rashi, he actually describes a mermaid and he even calls it sirens, something like the sirens, okay? Sirena, he calls it in Laz, in Old French, which are the sirens. Okay, so he says they actually are half man, half fish, half human. So dolphinim parim v'ravim. Now here there's a different nusach, difference in the nusach. Kivne adam, okay, like, okay, they reproduce like people, like humans. And then we would say it would be something like a dolphin or some other kind of animal where they reproduce like humans, where they, you know, you could explain this in different ways, I guess. Where maybe they're affectionate with each other beforehand, the way that they mate, we're going to talk about this, the direction, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Some people say it's mibne adam, okay, that they're parim b'ravi, mibne adam, that's why they're half man or half human and half fish. Umay dalfinim, amar Rav Yehuda, b'nei yama. Okay, there were people call them b'nei yama, which again, depending on how you define it, would affect what this description means. Kol shebeitzav mibachutz molid. Okay, if the testicles are outside the animal, that means that's a sign that that the female give birth, the female of that type give birth to their offspring. The kol shebifnim, if the testicles are inside, then it's metil beitzim. Then their females lay eggs. Ini, is this really true? Vahar marshmuel, avaz vavaz bar, kilaim zebazeh. The regular goose and a wild goose are considered kilaim if they mate with each other. Vehavina ba mai taima, and they ask why. Amar Abaye, ze beitzav mibachutz veze beitzav mibifnim. And yet we know, travayu metilei beitzim. So one has its testicles inside and one has it outside, and yet they're both metil beitzim. And we said before that that's all a sign, whether it's inside or outside, about whether it's metil beitzim or whether it's molid. So Ella, what do they explain here? It's not the testicles, it's koshes zachruto mibachutz. If the organ itself is outside, molid mibifnim, but if it's inside, then it's metil beitzim. Okay, not the most interesting topic. Anyway, now we're going to get to another braita about tashmish, about how relations go on with different animals, or creatures, you should say, because it includes all types. Koshe tashmisho bayom, yole bayom. If they generally have intercourse during the day, then they give birth during the day. Balayla, yole balayla. If at night, then they give birth at night. Koshe tashmisho bayom, 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 balayla, yole, bayom, 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 balayla. Okay, then if it has intercourse any time of day, then basically it could give birth any time, day or night. Tashmisho bayom, yole bayom. Here we're gonna have some examples. A tarnigol. Balayla, yole balayla. Atalef, a bat. Tashmisho, bayim bayom, bayim balayla. Yole, bayim bayom, bayim balayla. Adam, bechol dedamila. Humans and any other creatures. Lamay nafkamina, good question, right? What's the relevance of all this? What does this matter halachically? Well, here's an interesting halachic ramification. L'chidur of Mary b'rei de Rav Kahana. The Amar of Mary is what he says. The Amar of Mary b'rei de Rav Kahana. Badak b'kina shel tarnegolim erev Yom Tov. This famous, very important halacha that a beitza shenolda b'yom tov is muktzah, right? It's not allowed to be eaten because it wasn't ready from the day before, right? We call that, it's sort of this crossover between muktzah and nolad. Because it's nolad on Yom Tov, so it wasn't set aside from the day before, which then creates a muktzah problem, and also you can't eat it because it wasn't ready, it wasn't prepared. So what happens? You look in a kina in the nest of a chicken, an erev Yom Tov, and you don't find an egg. So now, what happens? L'machar on Yom Tov ishkim hu matzah ba'beitza. Now you find an egg. It's muteret b'achila b'yom tov. Why? Emar lo badak yafeh. How could it be? Because a tarnagol, we said, has relations during the day, and therefore it must lay its eggs during the eggs must be hatched, or the eggs were laid during the day. And here, what do we see? If when he checks in the morning, right, early in the morning, right after the nighttime, and he finds an egg, it obviously couldn't have been hatched overnight. And therefore, what do we say? It must be mutar b'achila, and he must have just not checked the nest carefully. So now they say, v'lo badak yafeh. But it did, he did check, because it said that he checked. Must have been he checked. If he checked well. So what do they say? Emar yatzta ruba v'chazra hava. It was a case where, what must have happened? It must have gone out. The majority of it must have come out of the mother, and then it went back in. And therefore, when he checked, it was inside. But really, it had already come out because again, there's no other way because they don't give birth at night. Uchid Rabbi Yochanan, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Beitza sheyatzta rubam erev Yom Tov v'chozeret muteret lochla b'Yom Tov. And therefore, since he says as long as it came out, even if it went back in. As long as it came out before Yom Tov, it's muteret lochla b'Yom Tov. Therefore, one can eat it on Yom Tov. Kol shetash mishov iburo shaveh. Now we're going to talk about two different things. One is if they have sexual relations in the same way, and if their gestation period are the same, then yoldim umigadlim zemizeh. Then they can actually have offspring together, right? They can mate and have offspring. And they can also, migadlim zemizeh, seems they can nurse each other, right? The mother can nurse the offspring, if this is the case. Hakol mimash mishin. Now we're going to talk about what would be tashmisho shaveh. And then we'll talk about what is the zaman ibor of all different kinds of animals. Hakol mishamshim panim keneged oref. Most animals do face-to-back intercourse. Which are the ones that do it face to face? Dag ve'adam ve'nachash, seemingly a random connection. Fish, humans, and snake. Maishna hanitzlate, what makes these three things unique? What's the common denominator? Ki atar avdimi amre b'marava, he says that they say in Eretz Yisrael, ho'il v'dibraim ahem shechina, because the shechina spoke to the three of them. What are the three? Right, so humans we know, those are Nevi'im in general. Dag is in the story of Yonah when he runs away, right? And the dog is spoken to by God when he's told to spit out Yonah. And the Nachash, obviously in the Chet Adam HaRishon and the sin of Adam and Chava. Okay, Tana. Gamal achor keneged achor. Here's a brayta that says that, by the way, there's one exception to both these rules, which is the Gamal has intercourse back to back. Tanu Rabbanan. Tarnagol le'esrim ve'echad yom u'kenegda be'ilan luz. Now we're going to have the gestation period of various animals, and for each animal, almost each, we're going to see, there's a corresponding tree that has the same gestation period. So a tarnagolet, a chicken, hatches after 21 days. U'kenegda be'ilan, the luz tree, which is usually considered the hazelnut. Kelev l'chamishim yom, 50 days for a dog, u'kenegdo b'ilan te'ena, okay, the fig tree. Chatul l'chamishim u'shnayim yom, 52 days, just a little bit more than the dog, u'kenegdo b'ilan tut, strawberries. Chazir l'shishim yom, actually they say here it's a mulberry tree, I see in the Koran's interpretation. Chazir l'shishim yom, Okay, a chazir, a pig, would give birth after 60 days. Ukenegdo b'ilan, tapuach. Shu'al v'chomine shratzim, a fox and other types of creepy crawlers. Shisha chodeshim, 6 months. Ukenegdam b'ilan, tfu'ah, the grain takes 6 months. Behema daka teora, a small kosher animal, l'chamisha chodeshim, gestation period of 5 months, we've seen this before, ukenegdam b'ilan gefen, okay, the grapevines. Behema gasa tmea, l'shneim asar chodesh, a non-kosher large animal would be 12 months, ukenegdo b'ilan dekel, okay, and the date tree is the parallel. Teora, a kosher large animal, Litish achodeshim is a 9 month gestation period. Ukenegda b'ilan zayit, the olive tree. Hazeev, ha'ari, ha'dov, ha'namer, ha'bardilas, ha'pil, ha'kof, ha'kipov. Okay, the wolf, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the bardilas, which is often explained as a cheetah or something like that. Ha'pil, the elephant. Ha'kof, the monkey. And ha'kipov, which is some type of long-tailed monkey. L'shalosh shanim. Okay, these are 3 year gestation period. Ukinegdam b'ilam b'not shuach, which seems to be some white type of fig, which is not considered a very good fig. Fe, okay, which is translated as a viper or something like that, some sort of snake. L'shivim shana. Okay, this sounds very weird. Seems to be explained as it gives birth once it's been alive 70 years, for the first 70 years of its life, it can't give birth. Ukenegdo b'ilan charuf. Okay, this is, goes back to the famous story of Choni Hamagel, who sleeps for 70 years and wakes up and the carob tree is there. Charuf ze mishat netiyato v'ad shak gmar perotav shiv'im shana. Okay, this charuf, it takes 70 years from the time it's planted until its fruits are begin to be formed. And then it needs another 3 years for the fruits to actually ripen. Nachash l'sheva shanim. A nachash is 7 years. Okay, so again, this is a bit, seems like it's kind of born after 7 years. Seems like a very long gestation period. Ula oto rasha lo matzinu chaver. Now they say, this is the one case where we don't have a corresponding tree that has 7 years here. Okay, and notice they call it Loto Rasha. Again, right, the Gemara is still upset with the snake for what happened in the first sin. V'yesh omrim mechusasim. Some people say that the mechusasim are equivalent because they ripen after 7 years. What exactly are mechusasim? So some people, Rashi explains it's like the Benot Shuach that we talked about, which then begs the question, well, what's the difference? We already said it had a different gestation period, so different explanations are given. Some people say it's something else. It's some other tree. Okay. The point is it takes 7 years. Some people say that there's, there it said 3 years for the Benot Shuach, and it could be that this refers to that only after 7 years do they start to grow, and then the 3 years is once it starts to bud. Okay, now the Gemara says, Minane Mile, how do we know that a snake's gestation period is 7 years? Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Umatu ba mishum de Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Some people say it's Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. Some people say it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Shenemar, Arur ata mikol abeima mikol chayata sadeh. So now this is the curse given to the snake, right? You should be cursed from all the behemot and all the chayata sadeh. If it was more cursed than the worst animal, then shouldn't it be obviously more cursed than the non-domesticated animal? Now, why is this? The assumption already of the Gemara is that the curse has to do with the gestation period, and that the snake is suffering because it has the longest gestation period. Now, the longest gestation period by an animal is shorter than the longest gestation period of a chaya, of an undomesticated animal, and therefore they say if it's already worse than a behemah, then obviously it's also worse than a chaya, because let's just go the shortest gestation period for a behemah is the goat, which is 5 months, which is longer than the shortest gestation period by the undomesticated animal, which is the cat, at 52 days. So therefore, we're going to say, why do you need to say from the behemah and from the chaya? Ella lomar lecha, it must be to say like this. First of all, I think it's interesting that they assume the curse of the snake has something to do with childbirth, right? Just like the woman was, like Chava was cursed that be'etzev tildi banim. So also when they say arorata, this curse has to do also with something having to do with giving birth, and it has to do with the gestation period. Anyone who's 9 months pregnant and waiting to have a baby can understand why it's torturous to be basically be given a very long gestation period. So, what do they say now? Ela lomar lecha keshem shenitzkalala habeema mechaya echad l'shiva umaynihu chamor mechatul kach nitzkalel hu mibeema echad l'sheva dehavu le'sheva shnei. How did we get to 7 years? Because we say, well, the behema is 7 times longer than the chaya, and which one is that? Well, a chamor, which is a year gestation period, is 7 times longer than the cat, who's 52, which comes out to 364 days, which is approximately a year, right? 1 day off. So if the chamor is 7 times than the chaya, then the snake is 7 times more than the chamor, which would get you to 7 years. So that's how they understand the rorata mikola beima, mikol chayat asadet. Whatever the chaya is, 7 times that is the behemah, and 7 times that is the snake. That's the curse he got. Ema, but you could say, k'shem shenitzkalala chaya mibehemah achat l'shalosh shanim umaynihu. So you could come out with an even higher number. What could you say? Well, a chaya is worse than a behemah achat l'shalosh shanim, right? One, and it's from 1 year to 3 years, meaning what? Umaynihu. Arime chamor. The lion, okay, here we have a case where actually the chaya is worse than the behema. A lion has a 3 month gestation period, and a chamor has a 3 year, and the chamor has a 1 year. So what do you say? Just like the chaya is 3 times more than the behema, kach nitkalel hu mechaya achad l'shalosh shanim. You could say then, right, that the ari is 3 times the chamor, and the snake is 3 times the ari. And what would you get to? Tahavale teisha shanim, because you get to, right, 1 times 3 is 3. That gets you the ari, and 3 times that is 9. So now they say, no, but miktiv mikol ha-chaya, mikol ha-behema. Doesn't say from the chaya, from the behema. It says mikol ha-behema, mikol ha-chaya. Right? And therefore, it seems to say, right, the behema is worse than the chaya, and the nachash is worse than the behema. Therefore, ruhu mi beema shenitzkalala mechaya, right? That's worse than the chaya. Ve'ema, so still you could say this then. Now we could get to a smaller number. Kashem shenitzkalala beema mechaya echad l'shalosh. Maybe we'd rather use this 1 to 3 rather than 1 to 7. Umaynihu ez mechatul. Because an ez, right, a chatul is 52 days. And an ez is 5 months. That's approximately 3 times. So kach nitzkalal hu mi beema echad l'shalosh. And then you get to 3 times the A's is 5 times 3, 15 months. Davale chamesar yarche. So now they're going to answer, Iba dema mikola bema, meaning he's the worst of all of them, and therefore let's take the worst animal that there is, which is the donkey. V'yibay dema klalahu, klala shade ilave. If we want to take a klala, we're going to say it's the worst that could possibly be. We'd rather say, right, chamesh, 15 months doesn't sound so bad, but 7 years sounds really bad. Now we have a story, okay? Either this comes up, we mentioned Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya a few minutes ago. Maybe that's why this story is here, but it seems like it's mainly here also because of this gestation period of a snake. Okay, so there seem to be two connections here. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was known to be... he lived after the Churban Bayit Sheni. The second temple was destroyed. He's known to be very wise in all different kinds of areas, including secular studies and science, astronomy, zoology. He ends up in a bunch of different Gemaras where he ends up in a discussion with the emperor, the Roman emperor, which is going to be what our story is about. And basically, this is a very strange story, and it's going to lead us to the end of today's daf. There's actually a book called The Juggler and the King, which comes, we're going to see these 12 questions that come up in the story. And he explains these all in that book, and based on the Gra's explanation. You can look more into it. I'm not going to try to give any really wonderful explanations of these stories because they're way out there and difficult to understand what exactly is going on here. I'll give small things about it based on the small amount that I read about it. But there's obviously something interesting going on here. Definitely needs more in-depth research. Okay, with all that introduction, let's start the story, okay? The Kesar, so first of all, in the Koran, they give some good background. They say that they think the emperor was Hadrian, who ruled from 117 to 138. We're going to see this story combines. There's the Romans, there's the Greeks, and then there's the rabbis, which is, in this case, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, who was very wise. And we're going to see that there's a whole issue here about who is the smartest, who knows the most. And obviously, since this is a story in our text, the Jew is obviously going to come out on top. Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya is going to be the hero who proves how wise he is. Okay, however, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be difficult to understand along the way. Like, in other words, again, about the symbolism here, some people explain this very symbolically, that these have to do with the relationship between the Jews and God. It could have to do with the stuff about the afterlife. It could have to do with Christian-Jewish relations during the time and issues between the Christians and the Jews. There's all different possible ways one could go about understanding these stories. I'm going to try as much as possible to kind of stick with the pshat and leave it to your imagination / research, or however you want to go about looking into this story, to go with it where you want to go. So the Kesar says to Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, Nachash lekama mi'aber umolid. How long is the gestation period? Amar le l'shev shnei, 7 years. So now he says, the Roman emperor says, Vahas sabi de be'atuna arbi'inhu va'olid litzlat. But the great Roman wise men, I'm sorry, the great wise men of Athens, okay, this is classic. In that time, the Greeks were known. They already had lost, at this time period, they'd already lost a lot of their glory, but they were still known to be very wise and knowledgeable. They said they did an experiment where they took a snake, or possibly snakes, depending on the nusach you have here, arbeinu in our nusach, it's plural, but only the tzlat. Okay, they basically took this, these snakes, and they showed that they gave birth after they had a 3-month gestation period. So if that's the case, how could you say that it's 7 years? Okay, they've disproven you. So what does he answer them? Hanu me'abri havu me'ikara. They were already pregnant. In other words, they did this experiment on snakes that were already pregnant. Right? Dalit shnin. They were already pregnant for 4 years. Vaha kamimashmish kamisham sheshimushe. But how could you say that, says the Roman emperor. He says, but they already, these had relations. You can't, okay, the assumption is you can't have relations if you're already, you can't have intercourse if you're pregnant already. So they say, no. Inu nami misham sheke adam. No, it's just like people. People don't only mate for reproductive purposes. Likewise, snakes are like humans in that way. Vaha chakime inu. But then he says to Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, but wait, but aren't the scholars of Athens, aren't they brilliant and don't they know everything? And therefore, how could you disagree with them? So he says, Anan chakmina minayu, we're smarter than they are. So he says, I chakimat, if you really are, zil zachinu, go argue with them, go beat them, vaitinu li, and then bring them in front of me. Amar le kamahavu, he says, how many great, Greek scholars are there? Shitin gavri, he answers him, 60. Amar le avadli sfinta, so go make me a boat. To eat be shitim bate, that has 60 rooms in it. Bechol beta eat be shitim bistarki, and every room will have in it 60 either chairs or mattresses or something like that. Which we're only going to see at the end of the story why he did that. Avid leis. So the Roman emperor makes him this boat or commissions someone to make it for him. And he takes this boat with him to Greece and he sails off to Greece. When he gets to Greece, he arrives at the house of a butcher. While he's there, he sees the butcher who's taking off the skin of an animal. Amarle, reshach lizabune, do you have your head for me to buy? You know, this is your head for sale. Amarle in, he says yes. Obviously, the guy assumed, right? This is classic. You go somewhere and you mess up the grammar a little bit because you don't really speak the language. And they just assume that what you meant was what they assume you meant. So when he says that, he assumes he meant, do you have a head of an animal to buy? But really, he meant, I want to buy your head. You know, meaning I want to kill you or, you know, buy the price of your head. So he says, sure, no problem. Amar le bakama. So Rabbi Yeshua says, how much? He says half a zuz, half a dinar. Yaivle, so he pays him the money. Lesof amarle anaresha dechevata amrelach. But then he says, right, one second. Right, so then when he goes to give him, right, he goes to give him the head of the animal. He says, what do you mean? I didn't mean the head of an animal. Amarle I bayit deesh bekach. Sage achvale pitra de beatuna. So he says, right, listen, if you want to keep your life, then go show me where the wise men of Athens sit. Amarle mistafina, he says, listen, I'm a little nervous. De kol de machaze katlele. Because anyone who shows where they live gets, right, will be killed. Here you see that, again, according to the way the rabbis see it, the great scholars of Athens hid themselves, okay? They didn't want anyone to find them. And it was an idea of keeping, this is classic, that they wanted to keep the wisdom in the hands of the rulers, right? They didn't want anyone to get their hands on wisdom. This actually isn't necessarily so accurate about Greek wisdom. It was actually one of the ways that Greek wisdom was different that, for example, than the wisdom in Egypt, where in Egypt, they kind of kept everything in the ruler, and in Greek, it kind of became more democratic, and they wanted people to have wisdom also. So it's interesting. The rabbis, their version is that in Greek, they were kind of trying to keep it secret. And again, it could be the way the rabbis trying to say, our wisdom's better because we teach, right? Our whole religion is based on teaching and having everybody learn and not just the chachamim. Although, again, there are stories where, you know, they kind of closed the Beit Midrash and didn't let everybody in. So, and some people say you shouldn't teach wisdom in the shuk, the whole issue about that. So anyway, they don't want to show him where they live. So he says, listen, Amarle, Dari Kricha Dekanya, go take a bundle of reeds on your back, V'chimatit Lahatam, and when you get to their house, Zakva Kimandika Mitbach, go stand it up. And then, you know, go kind of take it off your back, stand it up as if you're going to take a break for a minute, and then I'll know exactly where it is. So, doesn't tell you this, but he did this, and he finds the entrance. Eshkach de Rabbanai mikavayud Rabbanai mibarai. He sees that there's guards on the inside and guards on the outside. Tichazu kara de'aile katle luhu lebarai udenafka katle luhu legavai. So what happens? They have these guards and they put sand on the ground in order so that they could figure out whether anybody left or went in. So if they'd see footsteps facing in, then they kill the guards on the outside for allowing the people to go in. And if they see footsteps going out, then they kill the guards on the inside because they let people leave. So what did Rabbi Yeshua do? Afcha the sandle. He basically switched his sandal to be facing the other way. So he kind of walked toward the entrance, and it looked like someone had left the building. So So they saw this, and they killed the people on the inside. Then he was going out, and he switched his sandal to go the other way so that they would kill. So then they killed the people on the outside for letting people in. So basically what happens, he gets inside because now all the guards are dead and he can get in, right? He takes advantage of a weak moment. So now he gets in and he finds that the younger people are sitting in the upper level, right? They're considered kind of the better ones, the youngers, which again is the difference between our, right? Always we have this kenim, are the important ones. And sabi milatachat, and the elders are sitting below. So now he's in a quandary. Amar, ihaiv nashlam alahane, if I go say hello first to the younger ones that are sitting in the upper section, what will happen? Kale lehane, the older ones will kill me because I didn't give them the proper respect. Savre, anan adifin, da'anan kashinan tfe, ve'inu dardke, right? They're going to say, we're older and they're younger. Okay, so basically, what does he do to resolve this issue? It almost sounds, some of the Mefreshim explain that the Greeks set it up this way so as to trick people, right? So that they would, they'd have to figure out how to handle this. Amar shlama lechu. So he just walks in and says hello to all of you. Amru le ma'avidatech. They say, what are you doing here? Amar lehu, ana chakima di Yehudayana. I am one of the wise men of the Jews. Ba'ina lemigmar chachmata minaychu, and I want to learn wisdom from you, right? That's a classic way to kind of make them feel like, oh, let's engage in conversation. Yihachi nibai lach. So they say, well, if you really want to learn from us, let's see if you're worthy. So let's ask you questions. Amar lehu lachai, he says, great, no problem. But he says to them like this, izachitu, kol debiitu avidubi. If you beat me, then do with me whatever you wish. But if I beat you, ichlu gabai b'sfinata, then come eat with me on my ship. Amrle. So they say to him, Hu gavra da azil ubai itita velo yahavule. He goes to marry a woman, but the family doesn't allow her to marry him. They say, you're not worthy. Mai chazile da azil hecha demad lumine. Why would he then go to a family that's even a better family than the first family to go marry? If the first wife wouldn't, the family said he wasn't good enough, why would he ever go to someone even better than that? Shkal sikta. So what did Rabbi Yeshua do? He took a peg, datza litatai, low aisle. He took it and he put it on a lower part of the wall and he couldn't get it to go inside. But then, li'ilai, he found some higher spot which actually had a hole in the wall already. Aisle, and then it went right into the hole perfectly. Amar hainami mitrame bat mazal. And sometimes it's not a matter of whether one is more worthwhile or not, but it's a matter of, is it the right fit? Sometimes you can find someone who's more of the right fit. Gavra de ozif vitarif, mai chaze de hader ozif. If somebody lends money to somebody else, to another person, and he doesn't return the loan, so why would he then continue to lend out money? Right? If he doesn't get his first money back, how could he continue to make more loans? Amar lehu, gavra azala agma, katal kamatuna, velo matzebe. A person goes into the pond, and he cuts a bunch of reeds, but he can't lift it up. So he doesn't stop, he keeps going. And why does he, right? He figures, eventually, when I find someone coming by, right? So he continues to work until he finally someone's going to come and someone will help him put them all on. So therefore, even though the first person didn't give him back his money, if he continues to lend money, and here there's again different interpretations, but it seems that he'll lend money to someone else and the profit he makes there will cover the profit of the person who didn't have the money to pay him back. By the way, the tarif here, I didn't explain, it's ozif v'tarif, means the guy didn't pay him back the money, but he went and took it from, he was able to repossess it from property that the person had instead. It's not like he really lost the money, but it's clearly the person didn't have the money to pay him back. So again, he continues, that's why some people say this is like the same thing with marrying, that eventually you find the right fit or you can find someone who will have the money. Amrulay. Or some people say mile dichti. Go tell me something. Go tell us something that makes no sense. Amar lehu. So he says to them, "Hava hu kudanita de yilada." There was a mule who gave birth. "Vahave tali le pitka," And on the mule that was the newborn's, there was a petek, a little sign that says, "V'katabe demasik bebe abba mea alfezuze." Some people, there's different interpretations, but let's just go with one that said, "My father, I'm owed 100,000 dinars from my on account of my father," or it could be the mule itself owed the money. Amrule v'chudnaita miyalda. Say, how could you write this? Obviously, it's ridiculous because a mule doesn't is known not to give birth. Amar lehu, heinihu mile dibidie. That's exactly why this whole story is impossible. In other words, why did they ask him about that? Because the assumption is they thought it was ridiculous that it was born with a note on it. So then they said, but we have another problem. And they said, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. This whole story, you wanted me to tell you something that made no sense. This makes no sense. Another question. Milcha Kisaria. Okay, there's 12 questions altogether. If salt is spoiling, b'may malchele, salt generally was known to keep things from spoiling. What if you have spoiled salt? How can you salt it? You know, can you salt it to make it better, to preserve it? Amar lehu, b'silta dekudanita. What would you do with it? You use the placenta of a mule. Umi'ika silta lekudanita, lekudanta. But if we already said that a mule doesn't give birth, how could there possibly be a placenta? So he said back to them, umilcha misare, how could salt spoil? Salt is the thing that preserves everything. Salt itself obviously can spoil. B'nei lam beita ba'avira da'alma. So now they say, build us a house in the sky, in the air. Amar Shem, he says the name of Hashem. Tala ben Rekia la'ara. We've seen another story where this happens. If you use the Shem of Hashem, you can create. So here, he suspended himself in between the heavens and the earth. Okay, mid-air. Amar lehu, asiku leliv nevetina. So he said, okay, bring me some bricks and mortar and I'll build a house here. Mitziata da'am. Okay, so basically, right, that's the end of that one, which basically is ridiculous. They can't do that. Mitziata da'almahecha, they say, where's the center of the world? Zikafala etzba'ate, amar lu hacha, so he picks up his finger and he says, right here. Amarule umi yemar, they say, and who says that that's right? So he says, aitu ashle umashachu, fine, so if you don't believe me, let's bring out the ropes and measure, and then you can tell me. Which obviously, again, it's impossible. Itlam beira bedabra. They say, listen, we have a bore, a pit in the middle of the field. Aile lamata, go bring it to the city. Amar lehu, afshilu li chavle mipare, v'aile. If you braid me ropes made of bran, which can't actually be braided, it's not possible, then I will bring it into the city using those ropes. Itlam rechaya de tfira. Now they say, we have a mill that broke. Now a mill is made of stone. So they say, chayate, right? Sew it back together, which obviously you can't sew stone. So Amar, he said to them, krochu lemine garde vichayate. Go pull out some threads from the mill, and with those threads, I'll sew it back together, which again, obviously can't be done. Mishra disakine b'may katle. If you have a field full of knives, what can you cut it down with? What are you going to... Bekarna de Chamra. So he answers them, you can use the horn of a donkey. Horns were known to be very strong. So they say to him, Umi kakarna le Chamra, but there are no horns on donkeys. Donkeys don't have horns. So he says back to them, Umi kamishra de Sakina. But what you said is also ridiculous. There's no such thing as a field of knives. Aitu le tre be. Amrele, hai dezagta ukamte. Vehe dezagta chivarte. So they bring him two eggs and they say which one came from a black hen and which one came from a white hen. Aitu lehu iu tregvine. So he gives him two types of cheeses. Amar lehu, he di ize ukamte vehe di ize chivarte. Okay, which one did these, right? Did these come from a black goat or a white goat? Okay, some people say that what this means is that when they said the eggs, the assumption is the eggs look like the mother. And he says, no, it's just like cheese, which goes back to yesterday's sugya about is cheese, right? Cheese is really just a secretion from the animal. It's not really, it's not like something that the animal gave birth to, right? It obviously wouldn't look like the animal. And they claim that the eggs are the same, okay? That Rabbi Yeshua is claiming the eggs are no different, right? You misunderstood about the eggs. And really, the chicks don't look anything like the hen. Uritsutsa demet. So now they say, let's take a chick who dies while it's still in the egg. Mehecha nafik ruche. Where does the ruach, the spirit of it, leave? Because it's inside an egg, and the egg is closed on all sides. So he says, mehecha da'al nafak. Wherever it came into the egg, that's where it goes out of the egg. Achvela mana de lo shave chavila. They say, show us something that it's not worth, that it's going to cause more damage than good. Aitu kocha v'chad budya pashtua. So he says, each of you should bring me a mat and spread it out. Lohava ayel batara. So once the mat was spread out, what happened? They tried to get it through the gate, but it wouldn't go through. Amarlu aite maris sitrua. Go bring axes and break the walls. Hainumana de lo shave chavila. This is something that's not worth its damage. Of all these things, I feel like this is the one we can most relate to. Sometimes you get a gift or something which causes you more money than it's worth. Okay, so now basically this is the end. He beats them in the debate. Okay, I just want to make mention of one thing I saw in the Koran, that riddles were very, they basically say in this footnote that riddles were very common in those days. These types of riddles and wisdom literature, both the ancient Greeks and the ancient Near East also. And there's this book called The Parables of Achikar, which was claimed to be written sometime either in the Second Temple period time or either in the beginning or maybe the end of the Second Temple period time. And there's a bunch of them about building a house in the sky, weaving a broken mill, constructing ropes from the sand, and a bunch of them from today that were similar to those types of questions that were asked. Okay. What happens now? So he defeats them. So now he gets to bring them on his ship. Aitinu, kol chavachad ki chaze shitim bistarke. When each one got on, what did they see? They saw the 16 either chairs or mattresses in the room. Amar kule chavrai lahacha atu. They said, oh, must be all my friends are coming, and therefore they didn't get off the boat, and they stayed on the boat. Right? That's how he tricked them into kind of staying, realizing that they thought they'd all be together, but in the end, they each had their own separate room. Amar le lisapune shrei svintech. So then he says, okay, let's go. Right? He says to the person, the sailor on the boat, let the ship start to sail. Bahade deka'atu, right before they left, shkal afra me'afrayu, he took some dust from the dirt from Athens. Kimate lebeblie, when they got to this area in the sea where the water absorbs everything, maleo kuza demaya mibeblie, he filled up a small jug of water from the water in that area. Going to see the significance of all the things he was doing in a bit. Kad atu, when they got to Rome, ukminu kame kesar. He brings all the Greek scholars in front of the emperor. Chazanu dehavamani. He sees that they're all suffering because they were all taken into captivity by him. Amar lehu hane lav ninu. He says these are not the great scholars. Look at them. They look like pathetic individuals. Shkal me'afrayu, so it comes Rabbi Yoshua, he takes from the dust of their land, ushta ilavayu, and he throws it on them. And that kind of brings them back to life, right? They kind of feel they're back home, and they come back. Akshu la'ape malka. So then they started to speak with a lot of arrogance toward the emperor. So he realizes, Amarle, kol debayit avi behu. So now when the emperor realizes that he's won, he says, okay, you can do with them whatever you want. So what does he do? Aitinu maya da'aitim ibeblie. He took the water that he had brought from this area of the water where everything gets swallowed up. Shadinu betagra. And he pours it into a kli, into a vessel. Amar luhu, malyua luhu v'izi luhu. He says, go fill it up and then you can go back home. Milo ushtube kamai kamai ubala luhu. So they start filling up the utensil, and every time they fill it up, each time the utensil swallowed, the utensil gets swallowed up by the water. Milo. So they keep trying and trying, but every time they do it, the water swallows up the kli. Milu ad shamit kitfayu, and they keep trying to do this until basically their shoulders become disjointed. Ubala luhu va'azil. And basically, they are defeated by Rabbi Yoshua. And that's the end of the story. So again, what to make of this story? Many have written lots of different things about it. You're welcome to do further research.